A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circle Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin in the house. Want to get to Samish, so you have answers for us and golf as well?
Well, real quick, Matt Brown texts in.
Yeah.
Production company owner,
that's
manager.
Correct. Yeah.
He had the answer for how much these people get paid in the background of the
B-roll
country
extras?
Club. Yeah. If they're a SAG member, okay?
Oh.
The floor for a background non-speaking role in anything is about $200 a day.
Nice.
Like, I don't know, $2,000 in that open.
So okay? be in the union.
That's right. Yeah, look at all those people. $200. Good job.
It's a long day for
and they got to drink.
Long day for $200.
All right, I'm going to fly through picks. Go check out Long Shots for more further breakdown on the Cadillac Championship. Myself, Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds. Go deep dive as we always do. Outright card for me looks like this, Gil. I am going with Cameron Young. Played him outright 13-1. I'm also playing him with in the winner without Scottie Scheffler market. Guess what? Long course. It's another good one for Scottie Scheffler. So he will be an issue this week. Got her up. I played as well 30-1. That number was a little too long for me with him, with his distance off the tee. Gary Woodland, who has just been playing incredible golf here recently. He was my fourth rated golfer in my last 16 round model. T8.
Wow.
At the RBC Heritage, 33rd at the Masters, won the Houston Open at T14 at the Valspar. Gary Woodland, a little resurgence here. So played him outright, top 10, top 20. Other top 10s I played, Patrick Cantlay, and then Sam Stevens, top 10 and top 20. Another long hitter we've been playing a fair amount recently. Wanted to get him on the card in some placement markets.
All right. Well done. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Kentucky Derby week, but as we like to call it around here, it's Mike Somich week, and what did you say, Kelly? And there just happens to be a horse
race. Just happens to be a couple horse races.
Mike Somich joins us now at SomoBomb18 on Twitter, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, the co-host of Ready, Set, Bet. And Mike, you are co-hosting Money Moves later this week?
Yes, sir. It's a busy Mike Somich week. Co-hosting Money Moves on both Thursday and Friday from 11 a.m. Pacific to 1 p.m. Pacific there. We're going to have all the updates. If we lose anybody in the Kentucky Derby at breaking news this morning, number 13, Silent Tactics, scratches out. Was a horse I was using in my super, so now we got to start reworking things already. We'll see if we have any other scratches. Make sure you check out Money Moves. We'll keep you updated on all the news the next couple of days. And then on race day, we'll also be live right here, VSiN at the track, Road to the Kentucky Derby from 1 to 5 Pacific, 4 to 8 Eastern. Be available wherever you get VSiN, as well as on Mad Dog Sports Radio over on SiriusXM. Patrick Maher and I take you right up to the race and then instant reaction afterward as well.
How many total hits do you have this week? Have you counted, Mike? How many total hits do you think you have?
As Show of yesterday, it was hits. 19.
19.
As of yesterday, it was 19, but I think I added two more today. So okay. I think we're at 21 now. So there's more hits of Mike Somich, if you include the hosting, than horses in the Kentucky Derby this week.
Yes!
That's love a great way to put it. And also, if you don't hit the superfecta this year, you are a complete failure. You realize this, right?
Mm-hmm.
No. Yeah, look, I'm probably going to be a bum this year. After giving it out last year, $24 ticket paid $1,600. Gave it out 5 years ago, $24 ticket paid $4,800. It's all about what have you done for me lately. So we're going to try and do it again here. See if we can have a winner. See if we can hit the super something to make some people money here on the fastest 2 minutes of sports.
And the race day again, Mike, just what hours are you and Patrick on again? Say that one more time, because that is, I think, as far as race day coverage, you and Patrick Maher doing this for 4 hours, about as good as it gets.
It's going to be a blast. Yeah, we're on from 1 to 5 Pacific, 4 to 8 Eastern. We'll be on VSiN proper, the Watch app. You can catch us on channel 158 on SiriusXM satellite radio and also on Mad Dog Sports Radio there on SiriusXM as well. We'll talk about a couple races leading up to the Kentucky Derby. Obviously, a lot of Kentucky Derby coverage. We're going to have Dave Johnson on. I believe Chris Felica is joining us as well. Steve Bick is going to join us on that show. And then we'll have that instant reaction. So the race goes off at 7 o'clock Eastern. So 3 hours before the race, 1 hour after, we'll talk about everything Triple Crown related, what could happen. We'll probably sneak a little bit of playoffs in. Could be some very interesting NBA and NHL games that night as well. So we'll cover that while we're on.
And you're also doing deep dive with Andy and Drew, right? As well.
Yeah.
Okay. That is one of the ones later today. I'm recording VSiN at the track. If you want more horse racing action, VSiN at the track, you can find us on YouTube or anywhere you get your podcasts. Just look up at the track or VSiN at the track there. We'll cover the entire Oaks card today. So if you want Oaks bets, that's going to go up today for Friday's card. And then the Derby will be on Thursday that we're recording for Saturday's card in the Kentucky Derby. So you get best bets, race breakdowns, everything you could ever want in the horse racing world over there at VSiN at the track.
All right. I only have one question before you launch into your 152nd Kentucky Derby handicapping breakdown, which is, it's my pat question every year. Some people say it gives away who you think is going to win the Derby, but I don't, because you might think the second or third horse has a better chance at the answer to this question, which is, I come to you from the future and I say, hey, Mike, a horse won the Triple Crown. What horse is that?
Oh, it will give it away. It's Chief Wallaby. Chief Wallaby is the most talented horse in this field. There's some issues with Chief Wallaby, though. I'm going to be first and foremost, like, he's a little bit of a head case. We're adding blinkers, which has never worked before in the Kentucky Derby. Now, the horses that have added blinkers in the past, generally not very good horses. And so you kind of have to take that stat with a grain of salt. But if you go back and you watch his debut, he's an absolute monster. And then you go back and you watch his first prep race down in Florida, would have won the race had he worn blinkers. He kind of got to the lead and then slowed down a little bit. You go back, you watch the Florida Derby. He is the most talented horse in that race, more talented than Commandment, more talented than Puma. But he was unwilling to split horses down the stretch when he actually got out into the clear. That's why we're adding blinkers here. He should love the mile and a quarter distance. A mile and a half is not a problem going down the line. If he puts it all together, he is the best horse in this race. You're betting on whether or not he puts it together on Saturday, though.
And you are betting on him to put it together is what we're getting out of this. All right, so how are you betting this? And can you do it in the great Mike Somich fashion of, it's the Denzel Washington line in Philadelphia. Explain this to me like we're two-year-olds. How are you betting this?
I'll get to my movie phone voice a little bit later when I break down what the superfect is at current, assuming we don't have any more scratches. But for me, this is pretty simple. I think there are three serious win candidates in this race. I think one of the ways to create value around this race is to throw out your favorite, the number one Renegade, who's 4-1 on the morning line. This is a horse that I was kind of out on before the post position draw. When Renegade drew the one post, this was an easy horse for me to chuck out here. The one post has been absolutely treacherous from a Kentucky Derby perspective. Last winner was in 1986, Ferdinand won. We haven't seen a horse hit the board since looking at Lucky back in 2017. And there have been good horses. Mo Donegal was in that one post. You had a horse named Known Agenda who was in the one post. Both of them unable to hit the board. Yes, Renegade dropping back is going to be an advantage as a closer from that one, but he will be most likely last under the wire the first time and on the inside. Going to be very hard for him to then get the trip he needs, weaving through horses to be able to get to the front. If you want him in your supers, I get it. I could see him in the third or fourth spot, but not a horse for me that I want to use. I'm going to try and create value by getting him out of there. We always talk about the Kentucky Derby kind of like March Madness, where you have to lean on a conference in March Madness. I lean on a specific segment that I think was the best prep segment. And to me, that is Florida. Three horses coming out of those races, the number 6 Commandment, the number 9, the Puma, and the number 12 Chief Wallaby. Of those three, I think Commandment's the most likely to hit the board, yet least likely to win. I think the Puma has a big win equity here. This is the same connections that won with Mage a couple years ago. His style is just going to be drop back, make one big run. I do think we see a fast pace in the Kentucky Derby again this year. So that should set up well for the Puma coming from off the pace. And then Chief Wallaby, who also came out of that circuit, I think the most talented. If you're looking for a big time price, I think the number 20, Full Effort at 20-1, has some win equity in this race. It's a horse, again, that's going to be drop back, one move closer, has not touched the dirt yet. But we have seen this synthetic to dirt work before. Brad Cox did it last year with a horse that ended up finishing 4th in this race. I think Full Effort is better than that horse. It's peaking at the right time. And the breeding says the dirt shouldn't be a problem, as has the workouts been over that Churchill Downs surface. So the three win equity horses for me here are the number 9 Puma, the number 12 Chief Wallaby, and the number 20 Full Effort. I'll be playing those three in exacta. I've got some future equity in Chief Wallaby, so I probably won't have a win bet since I already have got a number at better than what the current odds are. But if I did not have that, I'd be betting Chief Wallaby to win here as well.
Interesting. Okay, so Chief Wallaby, the Puma, and Full Effort. Those are the three horses with the win equity. You will be betting them in an exacta. Okay. I'm sorry, go ahead. You were going to say.
No, that's you okay. Nailed it. Very okay. Good. Well summarized 2-minute diatribe there.
All right. And so Renegade is the one. Renegade is the pole position for Renegade is what is the sort of eliminator on Renegade.
Gotcha.
Okay. That was the final deciding factor for me on Renegade. I wasn't in completely on him just because of who he's faced. But when you draw that one, to me, that was the final nail in the coffin.
Do we know that Renegade is even going? There was some doubt about that. Does it look like that horse will go?
I would expect him to run. There have been rumors, but the connections are saying he's going to go. And there are always rumors the week of the Kentucky Derby. So until a horse is scratched, I assume they will run.
And that would really, and the jockey with, who Drew Jensik, our buddy, who you're having the show with today on the deep dive, he says that is the, you know, if he doesn't get to ride Renegade, because he had his choice, right, of mounts. And if he doesn't get to go in this race, what an absolute travesty that would be for him to have selected Renegade and then not be able to run this.
Yeah, I read Ortiz had the option between Renegade, who's 4-1, Commandment, who's 6-1, and Further Ado, who's 6-1. The three favorites he got to pick between.
Oh, boy.
Now, there's other factors. The ownership, the trainer. He ended up on the one. It would be a bummer for Irad if he was not able to ride.
All right. Superfecta on the other side, Mike? Yes? Let's do it.
You got it.
Superfecta and some listener questions from Mike Somich as well. And hockey. It's a numbers game right here at VSiN. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game talking 152nd Kentucky Derby, the run for the roses. The fastest 2 minutes in sports. Got a lot of names at Kentucky Derby. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, Mike Somich, kind enough to join us for a second segment. Again, you can follow him on Twitter at SOMOBOMB18, S-O-M-O-BOMB18. We used to have the explosion, but we lost that in the divorce with the D. The D kept the SOMOBOMB explosion. Yep. Mike, let me just, before you continue, a couple listener questions. One, Roger Jones earlier. He said, morning, guys. Two questions for Mr. Samo Bomb's time, host permitting. One, a general question. How do you feel about fixed odds wagering? Have you tried it in the current climate of computer-assisted wagering rates? In the, I don't know, it gets a little run on here. The effective takeout late odds drop isn't, I don't know, it's a big run on sense. But how do you feel about that, Mike?
I love fixed odds wagering. Unfortunately, it's not really available. I mean, the problem, and if you ask Jeffrey Benson this question, he'd tell you it would be almost impossible to book it because you'd have to have it up and you'd have to have the limits so low because you would end up with massive exposure to specific horses that are not necessarily the same odds as what you're seeing on the odds board. And books are just not willing to take on that risk when you have something that you're going to get such little action. So over, like, if you think about golf, it's similar to golf because you can get these long shots, but you have a tournament every single weekend. You're really only going to be able to book fixed odds on maybe the Kentucky Derby and then possibly the Belmont, possibly the Preakness, possibly the Breeders' Cup Classic. Books just not willing to take the chance. And back in the COVID days, there were offshore books from far, far away places that tried to book fixed odds and got absolutely crushed.
I remember that.
Because people who were sharp knew which horses were going to get bet, and you were getting 10-1 on horses that would go off as 7-5 favorites. So because of that, fixed odds in horse racing is just very, very difficult, and no one wants the exposure or the risk when you can just book it parimutuel and guarantee yourself a profit.
Mike Rouse, can you ask Samo Baum the following? If he owned a Derby-worthy contender, what would be the name of his horse? A little easier question.
Mr. Dr. Duck, because you always bet horses with the name Mr. Dr. or Duck in it. So I would name my horse Mr. Dr. Duck.
Yeah, he had an answer ready.
Knock all three out.
Well, this is a former racehorse owner. He owned horses
One time. I forgot about that. All right, Mike, continue the betting dissertation, superfecta and all. What else you got for us?
So I mentioned the exacta. I'm going to play the 9-12-20 exacta box. I also believe that if I show my tickets to someone, they should know what horses I prefer over others. So I will come back with another exacta and I'll play it cold, which means it's not going to be boxed. And I will just put 12 on top of 9 and 20,
meaning that
if Chief Wallaby wins, I have more money on the exacta if the Puma or Full Effort runs second versus just boxing it where it's an equal amount of money across all of those. That's because I believe Chief Wallaby is the horse I want on top. So I want to make sure my opinion is represented inside of my bets. So I'll play a 9, 12, 20 exact the box, and then 12 with 920 exact a straight as well. Superfecta, and this is pending to change. Make sure you're following at Samobomb18. Follow at VSIN Live as well. I'm sure this will get retweeted out once the graphic gets made, when the scratches and everything is finalized here. But right now, I'm going to play a $1 Superfecta, 9-12 with 6-9-12-20 with 6-9-12-18-20 with 6-9-12-18-20. For $1, that will cost you $36. And in layman's terms, that means that either the 9 or 12, the Puma or Chief Wallaby, have to run first. The 6, 9, 12, or 20, Commandment, the Puma, Chief Wallaby, full effort, have to run second. And then the 6, 9, 12, 18, or 20 have to run third and fourth. That would be Commandment, the Puma, Chief Wallaby, further ado, and full effort. Again, this will be a lot easier when you can see the graphic. The final one will come out probably on Friday. But that's the current superfect I have based on what horses we have in this year's Kentucky Derby.
Okay, can you repeat it one more time? People will run this back. Also, we'll repeat it at the end of the show, but could you repeat it one more time for us?
One more time here. $1 superfecta in the Kentucky Derby here. 9-12 with 6-9-12-20 with 6-9-12-18-20 with 6-9-12-18-20.
Wow. Okay. It's a numbers game.
It is a numbers game. That's never what we meant by it, but it is a numbers game. Yes. Wow. Okay.
Well done, Mike. Well done.
Then did we cover what you were talking about with Danny off air? Did we cover that within all that?
We did. Yes. We did. That was the exacta conversation there. Where, again, I want to have more money on Chief Wallaby winning in the exacta than just across it. So I'll play a second exacta on top of the exacta box, 9-12-20 with 12 over 920.
Okay. So we covered it on the Kentucky Derby again. Keep updated, because these things are subject to change. At Samobomb 18 and Mike's 19 hits this week, where he will update stuff. All right, let's get to the NHL, which is your other love. Before you leave here, last 5 minutes, we want to cover this. Stanley Cup playoffs have just been tremendous. We have games tonight again. Pens Flyers being one of them. But let's start. Let's start talking just generally before we get to specifics. First and second period totals. You wanted to mention something about this.
I did. So I wrote an article for VSiN. You can still search it if you want to. It's about 3.5 years old now, but I have been a first period under proponent guy. I love the first period under, especially when you get late in the regular season and into the playoffs. And this year has been one of the most profitable years for the first period under, especially when you break it down by series. So we've got two series. The Wild and the Stars and the Ducks and the Oilers. Those are offensive series. I would expect you're going to see goals. And the first period under in those two series is 1-9. So the over is 9-1 to the first period. However, if you take those out and you look at the other six series we have in the first round, the first period under is 20-6. 20-6 to the first period under in the other six series. I'm going to roll back with the first period under in all three games today. You can get minus 115 in two of the three, minus 105 in the Golden Knights against the Mammoth here. And there's reasoning for this. So first period, you're going to see, especially the road team is going to be a more defensive style. You have a tie game, so you're going to see more structure as they try and earn that first goal. And you also see less penalties called in the first period because players are much more defensively sound. You're not going to see those same issues. Now, in the second period, it completely flips. So if you look at the second period totals, in the playoffs, in those six series where it was 20-6 to the under in the first period, it is 19-7 to the over in the second period. That's because you have the long change in the second period. You have more offensive zone time. You have more penalties because players are tired, because their shifts can be longer in that second period. And you often have one team chasing in that second period as well. So what I have been doing in these series is I have been playing the first period under, which I'm going to do again today in all three of the games. And then after the first period, I come in on the full game over, because that's the best time to be betting the over, because you get the second period, which has been trending to the over, and you also get the third period when you're going to have empty net goals, when you're going to have teams that are really pushing because they're down one or two goals in the game. So it creates a wonderful setup where you can play that first period under, followed by the full game over in the sixth series. So take out the Stars and Wild, take out the Ducks and Oilers. Those are offensive series. Don't be playing the first period unders in those. Every other series in the first round of this NHL playoffs, 20-6 to the under. And you're going to see that trend better the later in the series goes, because it is going to be tighter defensive hockey because there's more on the line as we go deeper into these series.
Rack that, as Jim Rome used to say. That was awesome. So again, under first period, Habs Lightning game 5 in Tampa tonight. Under first period, Pens Flyers in Philly tonight. Remember, this is the sphincter titan game for the Flyers. The Penguins are trying to come back from a 3-0 deficit, and this would knot it up at 3 apiece. So under in the first period in that game. And then, of course, the Mammoth and the Golden Knights back in Vegas at T-Mobile tonight, game 5, under first period. And then Mike will come in and bet the over, the full game overs adjusted after that point in that intermission. Okay, do you have a couple sides for us tonight in these games?
I do, and these are not pound the table convincing sides to me. However, I do think these numbers are just kind of wrong. Right now, in the Canadiens Lightning game, Lightning are -161 favorites. The Canadiens are +144. I have this closer to like +118 on the Canadiens. I think you're getting close to 20, 25 cents of value in this game here, taking the dog, especially in a series that's been tightly contested. We saw game 1 through 3 all go to overtime, yet you're catching +144 with a team that I think is just as good as the Lightning here. You're kind of getting this price on the Lightning because of the history of the Lightning. They are very talented, but I think the price is wrong here on the dog. I'll take that +144. And then the late game, the Mammoth and the Golden Knights, same situation here. I think the Mammoth are absolutely live to win this series. We saw Vegas have a nice push there in game 4, but then completely collapse and be able to just pull it out in overtime. I don't think this should be +141 on the Mammoth. This is another one where I think it should be like +115, +120. I think both of these favorites are trading on name value and not necessarily trading on what they've done on the ice this year. So give me both of the dogs there. I'll take the Canadiens +144 and the Mammoth +141 tonight.
Michael Samich, everybody. Hall of Fame performance on the show today. SamoBomb18 on Twitter, co-hosting Money Moves with Stormy tomorrow and Friday. Not to mention all the stuff he's doing on the weekend. Does JVT know that he's not hosting with Stormy tomorrow and Friday?
I hope so.
Okay. Hope that was communicated to him. Mike, thank you so much. I will do my best to repeat that back later on the show. No promises, though.
I'll be keeping an eye on it. I want to see a good performance here, Gil.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Mike Samich, everybody, here on A Numbers Game. We'll come back. More NBA. Todd Wishnev will join us for baseball as well. Right here on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. So we bring in our buddy Nick Whalen for this. Nick is the co-host of Prop Points, which comes on after this show, which he does with Jeff Erickson Monday through Friday here on the network. You can follow Nick on Twitter at Whalen, but substitute the number 1 for the letter L. Nick, good morning to you, sir.
Morning, guys. Thank you once again, Gil, for suffering through reading the Twitter handle. I think somebody tweeted at us after my spot last week and said my Twitter handle is, quote, an atrocity.
Wow.
Which I don't necessarily disagree with.
Was it Matt Brown?
An atrocity.
I still can't get it.
No, it wasn't out. Matt Brown. It was some name I was not familiar with. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if some other VSiN hosts that have had to deal with this chime in as well.
I did not realize Matt Brown has a massive issue with Nick's Twitter.
Really?
Handle. Oh, yeah. Doesn't think the one in place of an L is it makes sense at all.
Okay, Matt Brown, M2.
Master okay. of the Twitter.
Oh,
handles.
Good to know, guys.
I love the good to know. I love that he said someone said atrocity to describe a Twitter handle. Not sure that is what's the Steritor line. I'm not sure that elevates to the level of an atrocity. Yeah. All right, so just real quick before we get to your the games tonight here, Nick, and your thoughts on the playoffs. We're just talking about this anti-tanking stuff, and I just wanted to highlight this one thing because this drives me crazy. We talked about it again, for those who missed it. There's sort of this, they're calling it relegation. It's not really relegation, but essentially they're trying to incentivize the teams that are first, second, or third worst to win games at the end. They're trying to incentivize the teams that are fourth, fifth, and sixth worst not to lose, so they stay out of the 1-2-3, right? They got this whole system. But there's this one clause of this that's driving me crazy. You ready for this, Kelly?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The league would also have expanded disciplinary authority to regulate tanking and have the option to reduce lottery odds and or modify draft positions for teams under the proposal.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
This is just like that 65 game thing. It's like, hey, these are our rules until we decide it's not.
And in 2 years, we can blow up the whole thing. But yes, that's right,
In the interim, so what are we doing if you can?
Here are the rules, but they're not really the rules.
Nick, what say you?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up that clause, which was kind of buried, I think, in what was an extensive release yesterday by the NBA, which to me, that just means Adam Silver has like carte blanche to just say, you know what? I don't think you did this ethically enough, Utah Jazz. We, you know, you may have drawn the fourth pick in the lottery, but I'm going to manually move you down to the eighth pick. Like that's where it feels like we're heading. And obviously I'm joking here, but like 3 years from now, are we going to have a live TV special where Adam Silver just personally reveals the lottery based on how ethically he thinks team handled the season? It's ridiculous, guys. This is all so short-sighted. Dumb. There's going to be a ton of unintended consequences here. You know, we've talked about this before. Like wherever you draw the line, there's going to be teams that are going to do what they can to get over that line. So now you don't want to be in the bottom three, but you want to be in the 4-10 range. So we'll see teams win games early on, and then they'll make sure that they're positioned within that range. We can't save teams from just being bad drafters either. That's the other thing. Yeah. And I think this fixation on getting the number one overall pick is actually a little bit overrated. Like obviously the number one pick has value. It's produced a ton of superstars. You could trade the pick. There are a ton of reasons why you want the number one overall pick. But if you look back, and I'm cherry picking a little bit here, guys, if you take the last 13 number one picks, over half of those have been what I would call busts. You know, like one of the best of that group would be Andrew Wiggins. And some of these guys are Markelle Fultz, Anthony Bennett, you know, guys who have just been huge, huge negatives to their franchise. DeAndre Ayton, another great example. I just think this is all a quick fix. It's something that I think Adam Silver and the league were really embarrassed by this season, the way the tanking narrative took over. It'll probably work to some degree, but I don't see this as any sort of permanent long-term solution by any means.
From a betting standpoint, and this is all we really care about, it will sort of erase Tankapalooza, right? Like that sure. does get thrown out the window. And the only other thing I want to add, and I want to move on to these games, but the only other thing I will add is, and we don't make this point enough, which is we also have to just recognize that inherent in the sport of basketball, it's unlike the others. It's unlike, in other words, a player, yes, if you have this like ridiculous stud quarterback, let's say, maybe a player can affect change in a way in the NFL, but by and large, one player can't have the impact in football, in baseball, as it can in basketball. And so because that's inherent of in the sport, and there's only five guys on the court at one time, this is always going to exist to some extent. That's just the nature of the game, literally, you know? So anyway, let's get to this triple header tonight. Do you have any plays on sides or totals? Or are you going props?
It's more of a prop night for me outside of Raptors Cavs, where I do like Cleveland to cover the 8.5 at home. Home team has won and covered every game so far in this series. You know, my first instinct beyond the spread was to lean over after that, to use a familiar term, atrocity that we witnessed on Sunday offensively between these two teams. You think there has to be kind of a bounce back coming offensively, but we'll see. You know, I was digging in on some of the contested, uncontested shot numbers. Both of these teams are taking a ton of contested shots in this series, and they're actually hitting them at a much higher than expected clip. So ended up backing away a little bit on the total, but I do think we get a bounce back, at least for the Cleveland Cavaliers. You know, Harden and Mitchell just have to be better than they were in these last two games in Toronto. Some just ridiculous turnovers, some ridiculous shots, I thought, by both of those guys in game four. You'd like to think the Cavaliers could find a way to unlock Jared Allen. I think that's been kind of a low-key issue for them in this series. We saw a much, much better version of Jared Allen down the stretch in the regular season. Once James Harden showed up, all of a sudden he's giving you like 20 and 12 every single night. Feels like we're kind of back to the old Jared Allen now in this series. In terms of props for Cavs Raptors guys, I do like Scottie Barnes over 26.5 points plus assists. He scored at least 21 points in all four games so far, has at least 5 assists in every game, even got to 6 on Sunday in a game where the Raptors missed 1 million open shots and shot 32% as a team. So I think we're getting a pretty solid number on him at that 26.5.
Okay, there we go with that game. Any props in the other two games tonight?
Magic Pistons is a really, really tough one. I don't get the sense that Franz Wagner is going to be out there. I know they're calling him questionable, but I think that 9.5 number in favor of Detroit probably implies that we don't see Wagner. But there's some interesting stuff going on in this series. You know, I'm inclined to lean under once again, just based on how bad both of these teams have been offensively. It's actually been the second fastest paced series in the playoffs, which is a little bit surprising. But again, the offenses have been so terrible that it hasn't really mattered as far as higher scoring games. So I do lean under here. As far as Franz Wagner, if you're expecting him to be out tonight, Desmond Bane and Anthony Black tend to see the biggest boosts with Wagner off the court, but it's nothing too substantial. I would look at Desmond Bane, perhaps over 19.5 points plus money right now over at DraftKings. Wouldn't really play anything on Anthony Black. You know, his role has been a bit reduced in this series. I think you got to look at Tobias Harris as well, guys, who is now the clear number two option, I guess, for the Detroit Pistons. I would look at the over 16.5 points, minus 105 at BetMGM. He's had 17, 16, 23, and 20 points so far in this series. And that is with Tobias Harris, guys, shooting 3 of 20 on open and wide open threes so far in the series.
Jeez. All right, Nick, I close with a general question. I'm going to throw Denver, Minnesota off to the side because obviously Minnesota riddled with injuries, so it'll make the answer easier. More likely, the most likely, let's say, to come back and win their respective series. Philly down 3-2 against Boston. Atlanta down 3-2 against the Knicks. Or Detroit down 3-1 against the Magic. I'm not going to put Houston in there either. Damn. Those three.
I think the most likely to me is probably still Detroit just because of this Wagner situation. I think that's a huge deal for the Orlando Magic. But I will tell you guys in my heart, the situation that I hope happens the most is that Philly comes back and at least forces a game 7 in Boston and puts all that pressure on the Celtics to win that game at home with all the shooting variants that they've had in this series. I think that's probably the most fun scenario, but I'll still say Detroit as bad as that team has looked so far.
If I didn't have a bet on the Celtics to get to the finals along with the Spurs, I would agree with you. But got to sock through my bet. Thank you, Nick. Appreciate it.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Our VSiN Pro Triple Crown Access deal is in full effect. $14.99. Kentucky Derby through the Belmont Stakes on June 6th. Daily best bets from VSiN experts, real-time betting splits, AI-powered props and matchup tools, 24/7 live video, full show replays, the Kentucky Derby betting guide included. This lasts through tomorrow. VSiN.com/subscribe. Check it out. Check it out quick. Well, Rafa Hodar didn't get there. He loses 2-6-6-7. He was 0-7 on breakpoints. He lost the tiebreaker 7-0. So ran out of gas or just got mentally fried in that last in the tiebreaker. But we had our chances. 0-7 on breaks.
You did. You had your shot. Yeah. I don't know if you saw it. I think you were talking to Todd though. I thought it was pretty cool the ovation he got leaving the court. Center too. Center was standing up.
Yeah, he's the next big star. It's not Fonseca, it's Hodar.
I went to the Wikipedia page. And only 19 years old. Yeah. Man, that guy needs to hit the gym, eat a pizza or something. Though we got to get some muscle on that body, on that neck.
We get tweets beating book. Sean's Fox plays. Yo, what is the amount of small conference and mid majors in these extra games? 75%. I can see them trying to sell all these teams have a chance to get their first tournament win. I'm fine if this Big 20 and SEC 18th best team battling it out for these extra games. Yeah, you nailed it, Sean. That's exactly what it's going to be. It's going to be a fest of mid-majors. And yes, remember how they did that this year? Who was the team that got their first, they called it their first tournament win? Was it Howard?
Oh.
Howard University with their first tournament, whatever.
Right, yeah,
it was like,
yeah.
Who'd they beat? UMBC or something like that?
Something like that.
Yeah. Chance Copperpot. Okay, guys, if my Mariners win May, I'll let the maple syrup thing go. Until then, 22 tweets about 100% pure maple syrup to match the number of ANG shows.
Should have told you to lay off on that tweet. Getting it built up for a graphic. Because I called it right. Angry Chance Copperpot in the bakery.
3 Jacques H3131. Gil, I don't know how you cannot bet on a horse named Full Effort. That means all the other horses are giving less effort. Let's cash that 20-1 already. Samo Bomb's the best, by the way. Superfecta or bust. And then he's Chris Heath scratching out all the numbers from Samo Bomb. And then this last one we'll read here. Spence CC. I feel like I'm acting out the scene in the movie Christmas Story when he's writing down the secret code that ended up being Ovaltine, grabbing Samich's plays. Mike has the secret codes. And I'm going to read those codes later. I hope I get it right. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul Sporer joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Talks some Major League Baseball with us. You can follow him on Twitter at Sporer. Sporer works at FanGraphs. Paulie from Austin, Texas. How you doing, Paul?
I'm doing well. Good morning, guys.
Cincinnati Reds on April 29th, Paul. I need two wins and I need two Braves losses. Braves take on Tarek Skubal today, so that's possible.
Good spot, yeah.
And then I will dead heat if that happens. It's a big if, but I could still do this at 35-1, at least dead heated. Dodgers and Yankees involved as well. Are the Reds the biggest overachiever, in your opinion, in Major League Baseball? Or does a team like the, I don't know, Rays fit that bill?
You know, I think between those two, probably the Rays a little bit more. I mean, maybe it's a little bit of confirmation bias because I like the Reds coming in and, you know, seeing them 19-10 doesn't stand out as, you know, crazy. But then you dig under the hood and like, okay, the way they're getting there right now is not how we would have drawn it up. In fact, I started to fade off them a little bit as we got closer in the season because they were losing pitching. You know, Green went down.
Yep.
Then Burns had an injury scare. He's been pitching. He's been fine, but there was a scare shortly thereafter.
Lodolo.
And it's just like, yep. Lodolo. Yeah. So there you go. And it's like, what's going on here? So I started to get scared. So yeah, I think the fact that they lost two of their best guys, had a scare with the other up and comer, and they're still going this well is pretty impressive. And I think it's credit to Tito, you know, of course, being their manager, but also the talent that they have. They've got a lot of talent. And they are making it work. I think the way it works for them over a course of a full season is definitely different, though. Lodolo should come back soon, hopefully stabilize the pitching a bit. And the offense needs to be more consistent. But hey, they're 19-10, so critiquing the Reds too hard right now while they sit atop the division,
yeah,
you know, maybe is a little too harsh.
They bank the wins. They bank the wins so far.
That's very important.
Yeah, I'm going to give you the teams with the six worst records in Major League Baseball, and you tell me of these six teams. We'll go one by one. Headed for the toilet. This is about who they are. Massive regression forward coming. Royals 12-17 run differential -60.
About who they are, maybe not this bad, but I don't know. I understood why people were kind of interested in them, but I still look up and down that lineup and it's just not that impressive. So
I think they're bad,
I don't think that they're great. Yeah. And if Reagans isn't an ace, then they're really in trouble. I do think he'll be okay, but that could be a really huge if he topples. So yeah, I think we're about where they're at.
These are all good. I'm just sort of food for thought for folks who are thinking about betting them now at favorable prices for adjusted season win totals, for playoffs, maybe even for division. Red Sox 12-18 -9 run differential.
I mean, they fired everybody. You got to think there's some regression here with the talent. This is a remarkably talented team. I know people are putting them in their World Series. I had them going pretty far myself. I still think there's gobs of talent here that has to be better just by default than the 12-18 that we've seen so far. So at least a healthy dose of regression coming, because I think they're at least a slightly above 500 team, if not a massive flip. If anybody's going to do the 2019 Nats, it's going to be this team. Although they famously didn't fire Dave Martinez and he helped spur it, whereas they cleaned house in Boston. So it would be different approaches, but same sort of depths that they're rising from.
Wow. Referencing the 2019 Nats on the Red Sox. Interesting. Okay. Angels 12-19. -10 run differential.
That's just who they are. You know, they've got some interesting hitting that's going on, but I never really thought that they had any pitching of note outside of Soriano and Detmers, who I like both, and I'm not terribly surprised that they're pitching well. I like what Mike Maddux is doing, bringing the pitching along, but over the course of a full season, I just don't think they have enough horses. And more to the point, their bullpen is horrendous. So even if I were to give full credit to the rotation and say, okay, I think even like Kikuchi and Wolbert Urena is going to join Detmers and Soriano in terms of confidence, I still would have no confidence in their bullpen. And the hitting dies off too. It's pretty top heavy. So they're pretty crummy.
Bullpen horrendous for sure. All right, here's the three that are the most interesting to me. Astros are 11-19 with a -25 run differential.
Yep.
Mets and Phillies both 10-19 with a -22 and a -47 run differential, respectively. Astros, Mets, Phillies.
I mean, the Astros, you know, I called them the horror movie villain coming into this year, which if they're really going to fulfill that, they're really playing out that analogy for me, because, you know, what's the trait of a horror movie villain? They look like they're dead and then they rise back up. I called them that because I was really impressed with what they did in the offseason, kind of staying the course of a contending team, getting Emi, trading for Burrow, so I had some excitement for. He has not panned out. But then their pitching has just melted. And I don't know that they're going to be able to come back from this. Their offense has been amazing. That's the tough part. If they had any pitching, they would be totally fine. But their pitching is just beyond horrendous. It didn't have a lot. It had fragility coming in. And so to lose guys Brown, Imai, Christian Javier to a team that already had no depth, I don't know that they can get all the way back. The two NL East teams are a lot like the AL East team, the Red Sox. They're simply not this bad. There's far too much talent on paper. Phillies have cleaned house. Obviously, the Mets have not yet. I think that they will move on from Mendoza if things don't turn here very shortly. But I still think both these teams at the very worst are above 500, you know, a bit above 500 the rest of the way, if not quite a bit. Between the two, I think I still like the Mets a little bit more than the Phillies. The Phillies looking really old these days. And again, more talent than a 10-19 team, but maybe not the stud team that that a lot of people thought they could be coming in.
I'll ask the converse of this. Who at the top do you think is the most fugazi? Braves 21-9, Dodgers, Yankees both 20-10. Let's take the Reds out of it because that's the easy answer. Padres 19-10, Cubs 18-12.
You know, a little bit of the Braves there, like now they're doing what they did. They're doing the opposite of what they did the last 2 years where they underperformed. We kept saying their talent is too good to be this crappy. And it never came around, which is why Phillies, Mets, Red Sox fans, you're not guaranteed anything because we did this with the Braves the last couple of years and the injuries just became too much. I've been impressed with what they've been doing, but to be this good with Chris Sale and a band of idiots pitching, I don't know how they can do it all year. Like, first off, he has to hold up all year. And then who are these guys? Bryce Elder, hook 'em horns. But, you know, J.R. Ritchie, interesting young prospect, but can he be a number two? Martin Perez is 1,000 years old, cutting up my Tigers yesterday. Grant Holmes' arm is hanging on by a thread. I really love the offense, and they have a true ace, but I don't know how they stay this strong. It helps when Philly and the Mets crap the bed, though, too, right? The two things happening at once there where the Braves are playing well paired with two of the powerhouses of the division playing so poorly that you have them at 21-9. I think a lot of that balances out with those two teams getting better and the Braves coming down.
Exit question. NL Central is the most competitive division in competitive division in baseball to this point, with the Reds at the top at 19-10 and the Pirates in last at 16-14. Who wins this division when all is said and done?
Brewers again.
I was just going to say, that's who I think too. Brewers, right? It's going to be them. Yeah.
They do it over the 162. We'll see if they can get it done in the playoffs, but the 162 is for them. I think that Central is going to be fun all year, though. Keep an eye on it.
I love it. That's why I asked, because I thought you would say the same. Paul, thank you so much.
Thanks, y'all. Take care.
Paul Sporer, everybody.